If you have your Bibles, turn them to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I have a lot of scripture I'm going to impart to you today, all right? This is a sermon slash Bible study. We're going at it today, amen? Hebrews 4, 12. Popular passage here. And it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents or motives of the heart." Now go back with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 89. Just one verse. Hallelujah. And it says these words, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." How many of you love the word of God? Oh, you're going to love it even more after today. What do we do with the word? Today, I want to talk about the word of God. I want to talk about the Bible. Specifically, I want to talk about our duty or responsibility as Christians toward the word of God. In other words, how are we to handle it? What are we to do with it? Amen? Because how many of you know that we do have a responsibility with the word of God? All right? It's not just some book you just pick up here and there. No, God has a bigger plan for the word of God. So we are expected by our Heavenly Father to do some things with the word of God. And that's what I want to talk about today. And the title of this message is Our Duty Toward the Word of God. Our duty toward the word of God. I want to make you aware of several duties or responsibilities that we have toward the Bible. All right? And I believe talking about these things will stir you up, will make you more aware, more conscious of the Word of God, and give you a deeper appreciation for the Word of God. Like I told you before, when I first got born again, the very first thing the Holy Spirit really illuminated was the importance of the Word of God in the Christian walk. Amen? I had a hunger for it. In fact, I woke up the next day, and I just devoured the Word. I mean, I couldn't stop reading it. I wanted to learn more. Amen? And really, the only way to get to know God, to learn about Him, is by the Word of God. So it's very important. It's a revealer of who God is, all right? So hopefully it will make you sharp. It'll help you to sharpen up in areas that you're lacking in. And maybe I'm going to talk about things maybe you haven't been doing that you should be doing, all right? So the first duty toward the Word of God is, number one, we must what? Believe it. We must believe it. Go to Mark chapter 1. Oh, lots of word today. Mark chapter 1, 14 through 15. Oh, Pastor, I didn't have a chance all week. I was too busy to read the word. Don't worry, I'll catch you up today. We'll make up for the whole week for you. All right? Mark 1, 14 through 15. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The moment you repented and made Jesus Lord of your life, I was expected, ready? To believe the whole word of God. The entire word of God. We are expected to believe the gospel. We are expected to believe the word of God. According to the word of God, anything that's not of faith is what? Sin. So God says, you better believe everything I've said in this book. Now, I heard, how many of you know who Jonathan Kahn is? The minister. Awesome stuff. We were watching a video last night, right before bed, of him. And he was talking about wherever we're expected to believe in something, there also needs to be disbelief in the other thing. Are you following me? Come on. If you believe in a promise in the Word of God, disbelieve everything that comes against that promise, right? Go to Hebrews 4, Hebrews 4, 1 through 2. I don't know, there was something when he said that just jumped out in my spirit. I like that. Wherever there's faith for something, you're believing God for a healing. Don't believe anything else that's coming against that belief in the word. Amen? Hebrews 4, 1 through 2, and it says this, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Now underline that. The word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. Now listen to this. I want you to notice that it's possible to hear the word of God. It's possible to come to church every Sunday and hear the word of God. It's possible to watch every television evangelist and hear the word of God every day. And it's possible to hear it so much and still not be mixed with faith. Did you just hear what I said? I'm talking to Christians here. All right. There are many areas and topics in the Word of God that many Christians don't believe. Why? Because they choose not to believe on that certain topic. All right. Tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, whatever they are. All right. They don't bother to go study it for themselves to figure out the truth. That's a lazy Christian. Are you following me? I want to point out that the Bible is, listen to this. The Holy Spirit had something jump out at me. I want to point out that the Bible is referred to as the Word of God, not words of God. In other words, it's not a salad bar. Right. It's not a smorgasbord? Is that what it's called? Yeah. You just can't come up and pick and choose. It's the Word of God, not words of God. It's one. It comes as a package deal. Everything in it. Amen. So meaning the Word of God, it's a package deal. We are not supposed to pick and choose what we believe and what we don't believe. We are expected, again, by our Heavenly Father to believe every word in the Bible. It's truth. And if you read something and it don't make sense to you, listen, the problem's not with God. The problem is with your understanding of it, right? Hearing the Word of God and mixing it with faith, you got to understand this, is an act of our free will. It's an act of, it's not just going to come automatically. Faith isn't just going to pop in there. No, no, no. It's an act of your will. Personal faith, say personal faith, is an act of your free will. It's the whosoever will believe, right? Say whosoever. So faith, specifically personal faith in the Word of God, it's your choice. It's your, I just can't believe it. Yes, you can. You're letting other things get in the way. Are you following me? So if I tell you something, if I come to you and I tell you something or I promise you something, guess what? You have a choice to believe me or not. Do you not? You have a choice to believe, hey, is James telling the truth or is he not telling the truth? You read the word, hey, is God telling the truth or is he not telling the truth? It's your choice. All right, so it's our duty as Christians. It's our duty as, come on, believers, say believers, to believe every word in the Bible. And guess what? God wants us to choose to believe him. He doesn't force anything. If God could force his will, hell would be empty right now. Did you just hear what I said? If God could force his will on anybody, hell would be empty. But unfortunately, it's not. So many carnal Christians, they go into the ditch by not maintaining the fact in their thought life that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the word of God and not the word of man. It's not the word of man. And guess what? Many times we take the Bible for granted, don't we? Guess what? The word of God, the Bible, is still the best-selling book in the world. It's never lost that spot. Why? Because it's supernatural. It's a love letter from our Creator to mankind. Amen? Man was used by the Holy Spirit to write or to transcribe the Word of God, but it's from God himself. There are no mistakes in it. The Word of God is indeed infallible. Come on. The Pope's not infallible, but the Word of God's infallible. Holy men of God were moved or inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the will of God, to write it, not moved by their own fleshly desire or opinions. All right? So it's our duty, say duty. It's our responsibility and an expectation from our Heavenly Father to believe or have faith in the Word of God, not in just some of it, but in all of it. Amen? Next, the next duty toward the Word of God is that we must, as Christians, come on, desire and hunger to know it more. We must desire for it. We must hunger for it. There needs to be a spiritual hunger for the Word of God. The Word of God is our spiritual food. It's our daily bread, our spiritual milk, our spiritual meat. We need the Word of God in our heart, in our minds, to stay spiritually strong and healthy. If you're not getting into the Word, I can tell you right now, you are spiritually weak right now, and your flesh is overtaking your born-again spirit, man. All right? We need the Word of God to be equipped to resist sin, evil, and to resist the kingdom of darkness. We need to know the Word of God. We need to hunger for it. If you have lost, I'm talking to Christians, if you have lost that desire for reading or even hearing the Word of God, you are spiritually sick and lacking spiritual nutrition. You are an open target for the kingdom of darkness. That's just the way it is. All right? I mean, think about it. All of the commands in the Bible, everything that God has revealed to us, you know, not only is God revealing his will to us, you know what else he's doing? He's revealing the playbook of Satan and the kingdom of darkness to you and I. You following me? That's a lot of information he's trying to get across. Why wouldn't a Christian be interested in that? I'll tell you why, because you're overtaken by your flesh. You're overtaken by the things of the world. And we need to get our stinking thinking back online. Amen? So desiring plus hearing the Word of God will produce a faith on the inside of us. All right? It will produce faith on the inside of us. So we must desire it. We must have a spiritual appetite for it in our life. And if we don't, again, we're feeding our fleshly nature too much. And guess what? When we don't do anything, when we don't get into the Word, when we don't pursue God, guess what wins by default? The flesh. The flesh. And who's tangled in the flesh? Who desires us to walk in the flesh? The enemy. So really, then the enemy is winning in your life. The next duty toward the Word of God, and it's kind of tied into this, we must meditate on the Word of God day and night. Just for fun, go to Joshua 1:8. I go there a lot, but we need to. You can never hear it enough. Amen? Yes, for fun. The Word of God should be fun to the Christian to read. Amen? I mean, this is our Creator. This is revelation from our Creator to us. Why wouldn't we want to get into it and understand it, meditate on it, and know it? Look at this. Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law, and really we could say that's talking about the whole Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So obviously with meditation, thinking deeply on something, it should also come out of your mouth in that process. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Go with me now to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, I love this one too. Said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, prolonged thinking on, meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. How many of you want whatever you put your hands to prospers? Right? Well, it's telling us right here, meditate in the word of God. Amen. Delight in the word. Meditate on it. Think about it. Why? Because when you think deeply, prolongly on the word, it's going to influence your actions. It's going to influence the words that come out of your mouth. Amen. The more you meditate on, the more you think about the word of God, you could say it this way, ready? The better quality of life you will have on this earth. Success will overtake your life. Now, I didn't say it. God did. I love that about preaching. It's like, all you got to do is just preach the word and say, hey, don't blame the messenger. I'm the messenger. God said it, right? Meditation, by the way, does not happen automatically. It's an act of your will. You have to do it, all right? Our downfalls, backslidden condition, the problems in our life that have caused us to really fall away from God can be all traced back to one thing. Ready? Wrong thinking, wrong meditation, thinking on the wrong thing. And we allowed then the enemy to overtake the battlefield called our mind. Are you following me? And because of that, here's what happened. Because of our wrong meditation, our wrong thinking you're thinking on things opposite of what God said. Do you realize we fear probably 90% of things that will never even happen in our life? You following me? Think about that. What a waste of time. What a waste of life. Amen? And because we had wrong meditation, it steered us in the wrong direction. It directed our life in the wrong direction. Our thought life and our spoken words are the steering wheel, come on, of our life. Say steering wheel. And it is so important. The Holy Ghost said this. Tell the people that they need to keep their hands on the steering wheel of their life by meditating on my word. Come on, somebody. By controlling what you're meditating on. Oh, I just see that big steering wheel. Keep your hands on it. So when you start thinking something other than what God's word says, you're taking your hand. Can you imagine just going down the highway and you just take your hands off? Just let it, well, you know what? What's going to happen is going to happen. It's just going to go where it's going to go. How foolish. Would you ever do that with your car? No. Then why would you do it with your life? Amen. Think about that, your life. Now, the next duty toward the word of God is that we must accept the word of God. Ready? Without any changes to it. We must accept the word of God as it is. All right, Revelation 22. If this doesn't scare hell out of you, I don't know what will. Revelation 22. Now, so we have to accept the word of God as is. You or I are not qualified, come on, to change any part of the word of God. It is the way it is, and you accept it that way. That is our covenant. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, he says, you got to accept my word the way it is. Don't ever try to change it. Look at this. Revelation 22, 18 through 21. This is the very last verses of the word of God. Ready? For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. Not good. We want to be in the book of life, by the way. All right? From the holy city. And from the things that are written in this book, he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. That's Jesus, by the way. Jesus is returning. He's coming back. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what you got to understand is this. Culture may change. Culture's going to change. Everything in this evil world system is going to change, but the word of God never changes. It stays the same. It remains. The word of God is valid for all time. Amen? Past, present, it's eternal. It said the word of God is settled where? In heaven. It's eternal. It's done. There's no more updates. Don't ever twist Don't ever pervert or change the word of God for it to be acceptable to the world, acceptable to this current culture, or acceptable, come on, to unbelievers. Amen? Amen. Our duty and responsibility as Christians is to maintain, are you ready for this? Listen to me now, is to maintain the purity of the original message of the word of God. Say purity. The purity of the original message of the Word of God. We are to conform to the Word of God. The Word of God does not conform to us. We conform to the Word. Amen? Now, so Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, by the way, who is the Word of God, all right? It says, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God, like I said, is settled forever in heaven. So in other words, there's not going to be any more updates from heaven. That's why the word says, if an angel even comes to you and says, this is changed in the word of God, it says, let them be accursed. There are no more downloads or updates needed for the written word of God. Are you following me? Again, if an angel, if something super so supernatural happens to you, this being appears and says, hey, that's no longer valid. Oh, now we're accepting this and that. No. Let them be accursed. The word of God is settled forever in heaven. Now the word of God is settled in heaven. Guess who settles the word of God on earth? We do. We do by obeying it. We do by speaking it. Which leads me to my next duty as a Christian on this earth. The next duty toward the Word of God is that we must read and declare the Word of God. Ready? Publicly. Say publicly. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans 10, 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's why we don't need no angels named Moroni. We don't need the woman of Fatima. Are you hearing me, somebody? Right. We don't need no new revelation. We already got the revelation we need. Amen? In the Word. And then the Holy Spirit illuminates more understanding of that revelation. Amen? So we need to declare it publicly. Romans 10, 13 through 15. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear, come on, without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So in other words, ready? Again, how are people going to hear without a preacher? And no, that's not just talking about full-time ministers. It's talking about all of you Christians. The word of God, this is a duty. This is not optional. Did you hear what I just said? It's not optional. The word of God must be publicly declared by every Christian on the face of this earth. Every Christian is a minister. You got to let that sink in. Go with me to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. It must be. This is not optional. This is mandatory. The preaching of the word is extremely important. People will not get born again without hearing the word of God, without hearing the gospel. Come on, people aren't going to be healed without understanding the will of God in the matter. Are you following me? Now, here we go. So 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, and it says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, whether you feel like it or not, do it. It's your duty. Amen? Convince. Oh, come on, somebody. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I want you to notice here it says, endure afflictions. In other words, guess what? You're going to publicly announce and declare the word of God. You're going to have some persecution. And God says this, I don't care. Did you just hear what I said? I don't care that you're going to feel uncomfortable, because I'd rather you feel uncomfortable preaching the word than have one soul go to hell and the lake of fire for eternity. See, this is where we got to get our thinking. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about reaching others. Amen? The only way, again, that people will get born again, delivered from bondage, deception, from sin, is to hear and receive the truth. Now, when we publicly declare the word of God, listen to me, the Holy Spirit and angels begin to move to minister to people. Did you know that? There's power when you declare the word of God, all right? People must hear the truth of the will, the desire of God. His word is his will, you understand? The word of God must be preached. And it must be taught. Now, remember I said this before. I see several visitors, so I want to say it again. There's preaching and there's teaching of the word. Preaching is declaring or proclaiming something. Jesus died on the cross for you. But teaching is explaining it. Teaching explains why Jesus had to die for you. You understand? So there's preaching and there's teaching. And guess what? People need both. People need to hear both, to hear the word of God and to have it explained to them in more detail. Why? So they can understand how to apply it to their life more. There's a, how many of you know, the word of God is very practical. And that's where teaching comes in. That's why all these Bible studies we have here and all these things, right? I mean, it's important to be taught. And there's sometimes with my messages, I feel sometimes in a preaching mood. And then there's most of the time, as you'd probably agree, most of the time I'm more in a teaching mode, because I'm that way. I just don't want to hear some cliche thing. I want to understand it. I want to understand, oh, that's available? What? How do I receive that? Yeah. Why is that available? Why is that important? Is anybody else like that? Yeah. Come on. Now, go with me to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, really the teaching ministry in the body of Christ, the teaching ministry is the equipping ministry. Did you hear what I just said? It's the equipping ministry. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center down in Tulsa for 2 years. I sat 2 years full time in spirit-filled Bible teaching. It was teaching. It was going in depth on things. And I came out of there understanding the will of God even better. Amen? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it says, oh, this is important. Listen up. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. We talked about that on Wednesday night, what each three of those things mean, all right? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's very important. The words got to get out of your brain and in your heart. Come on, somebody. You shall teach them, underline it, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when they sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, I want you to notice something very important here. Ready? How many of you in here have children? All right. Parents, listen to this. Ready? There's preaching and there's teaching. Parents are expected by God to teach the word of God to their children. Listen to me. Oh, let me dig in. Can I meddle for a minute? Thank you. That means to not just speak of the Word of God in general terms, but rather, ready? Explaining it in a detailed manner to them that will give your children understanding of it. That must mean then, parents are expected to have a level of understanding of the Word of God that's not shallow, but rather a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here right now. Now listen to me. That means that every parent listening to me, should be qualified and feel confident enough to teach children in Sunday school. Oh! Hey, I don't care if I didn't gain brownie points with you. I did with my wife, and that's all that matters. So listen, you got to understand something here. So obviously there's a level. It says to teach your children. So that must mean then that parents are expected to study and be in the Word of God enough to have a deeper understanding to pass it on to their children. Listen to me. Pastors, youth pastors, and other ministers and full-time ministers of the Word of God, they're very important. We understand that. But for a child, say child. For a family, nothing will ever exceed, listen to me, the influence a parent has over their child. Amen. Never. Never. It won't. It will never exceed it. You might think, well, yeah, they respect such and such more than me. Oh, no, they're keeping an eye on you more than anybody else. That is a very highly regarded responsibility placed on you from God himself. Now, let me let you in on a little secret of our inner healing and deliverance ministry sessions, and this will prove my point. Most of our inner healing and deliverance sessions with people that we meet with, all right, they've experienced deep emotional pain and trauma that usually has a negative influence. Are you ready for this? From a parent. I would say probably 90-something percent of the people, we are dealing with people that had a horrible childhood, and it affects them to this day. So that's what I'm trying to say is this. Parents, you have a huge responsibility. Your children, listen to this. Ready? We love our youth pastors, don't we? We do. But listen to me. Your children are around youth pastors for 2 hours a week. Out of the 168 hours in a week. Right. Who do you think has the bigger influence? Right. Unfortunately, some of the kids have a negative influence in the public school system. Now, but here's what I'm saying is, they're always coming back home to you. And you have the influence over them. A parent's influence far exceeds a youth pastor's influence in the big picture, or a pastor, all right? So parents, don't take your God-given responsibility lightly. According to the Word of God, according to God himself, are you ready for this? It's your responsibility, the parent's responsibility in your children's life, to keep the Word of God at the forefront of your child's thought life. Did you just hear what I said? It's your responsibility to keep the Word of God at the forefront, fresh in the minds and hearts of your children. All right? So this is why the Word of God commands us in Proverbs 22:6. It says these powerful words, to raise up a child in the way they should go with that proper foundation from teaching the Word of God. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. Did you hear what I just said? The parent's role is extremely important. And now, so parents, I want you to look at yourself and have the identity in yourself now. Ready? Ready? I am a teacher of the Word of God to my children. No longer. Body of Christ, we can no longer just say, okay, kids, okay, go to church for your 2 hours. Go ahead. They'll take care of you. And then you go do your worldly thing. That time's over. No, you got to see yourself, ready? As the master teacher of your children, starting right now. And it says, if you do it right, come on, somebody. If you do it right, it says, when they're old, they won't depart from the truth. Now, so nobody's perfect. Amen? Someone's feeling like James is throwing stones at him right now. I'm trying to just make you understand the importance of. Guess what? Maybe you weren't that great of a parent back in the day. And guess what? Whatever age they are, you're still mom and dad. You can start right now. You know, my dad, he throws scriptures, you know, out to the grandkids and all this. Like every Sunday, he'll send a scripture to them. I'm like, that's kind of cool. He's been doing this for years now, but he never would have done that when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying? And now he does. And he's helping, come on, to keep the word of God in God. Come on. At the forefront of my children's minds and our grandchildren, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So start, you got to see yourself as a teacher of the word of God, all right? You guys still love me? Yes. Do you guys still appreciate me? Yes. Okay, good. Please, I can't stand rejection. Been over that a long time ago. All right, here we go. Ready? The next duty toward the Word of God is that we must search and study the Word of God personally on a regular basis. We must search and study the Word of God on a regular basis. All right? Now, personally, say personally. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. You know, that's the thing about, you know, when you preach the Word. Someone might not like what a pastor or a preacher is saying right away. It's they don't like it, but they walk away, think about it, and they're like, yeah, he was right. Why? Because it's God's word. Right? Have that struggle with God, not with the pastor. Come on, somebody. Amen? Revelation 1, 1 through 3, it says this. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel and to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Here it is. Underline it. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I want you to notice it says, blessed is he who reads. Say reads. Read. In other words, blessed is the person that takes their personal time to shut the TV off, open the word, and spend time with God alone. Amen. Did you catch that? Not just hearing someone else all the time, but it throws in there who reads it themselves. I like that. See, church attendance, watching and listening to ministers on TV and conferences, they're very important, they are. But just as important is us taking our personal time to read and study the Word of God for ourselves. You got to pull away and do it for yourself. There is something about personal time. Say personal time. There's something about personal time in the Word of God that allows us to be more focused, more in tune with the Holy Spirit. Just like the personal time you spend with your spouse, the personal time you spend with a loved one is important. Personal time with the Holy Spirit is important to develop that relationship, or I like to say it this way, that connection. What happens with a husband and wife when they don't spend a lot of time together? You start to feel that distance, right? It's like, do I know you anymore, right? They get a little dramatic sometimes, but you understand. But that's the importance of taking personal time, amen? Every deep and meaningful revelation or insight that I have personally received, are you ready for this, has come from me when I was alone reading and studying the Word of God and having a prayerful mindset. The point I'm trying to make was this. Every powerful revelation I ever received was when I was alone with God. It's important. It's so important. So a prayerful mindset, it means you're open to hearing from him. You're paying attention to, as you're reading the word, you're paying attention to the thoughts that are flowing in your heart, right? You're paying attention and you're like, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Give me more revelation. Give me more understanding. That's what I mean by a prayerful mindset. You're focused on him. You're not thinking about anything else. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of this?
Yes.
All right. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 16, I want to take a look at here. And it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Now, the King James Version says these words. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God. I like the word study better. Study to show yourself approved unto God, all right? So we must strive to be a worker or a minister of God who does not want to be ashamed. How many of you know being ashamed, that feeling of shame, that's no fun, is it? And we certainly don't want to be ashamed before God, do we? And the only way to do that is to personally study the Word of God for yourself. Amen? Get into it. I'm not saying don't, of course, watch videos or whatever, other ministers. But I'm saying is you have to have that one-on-one connection with the Holy Spirit. Get there. You have to. The only way to shun or shut down profane or idle babblings is to know the Word of God for yourself, or else you will be deceived. You understand? How many of you know there's a lot of babblings out there? There's a lot of different babblings out there, right? So you got to get into the Word of God and study it. Show yourself. I'm approved unto God, right? That I'm handling. We must handle. What does that mean? We must handle the Word of God correctly. We must rightly, it says, rightly divide the Word of truth, all right? If we can handle the Word of God right, it must mean it's possible to handle it wrong. Did you catch that? If we can handle the Word of God in a right way, there must be a wrong way to do it. How many of you want the right way? Come on, thank you, you two. Now, taking the Word of God out of context. Many people take the Word of God out of context, okay? And it kind of can put a twist on the Word of God. Taking the Word of God out of context, it means to take it outside of the meaning that God intended for that verse or topic. An example of taking the Word of God out of context, how many of you know, is when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's take a look at this. Satan and evil spirits are perverts. They pervert the word. They twist it. All right? For evil motives and purposes. Right? What's an example of wrongfully dividing the word of God? Judas went and hung himself. Then there's another verse that says, go and do likewise. Are you following? That's extreme. But this, I'm just saying, you can twist anything in the word. Again, there's a right way to divide it, and there's a wrong way. We want the right way. Check this out. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus had another scripture to fire at him to expose Satan's wrong motives here and the twisting of it. Verse 8, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Isn't that powerful? So you can see that Satan used Bible verses. Listen, the enemy knows the word of God. Don't take everything at face value. That's why you got to study the word. You got to understand it for yourself. Amen? He used them out of context and with the wrong motive. And Jesus had a verse to expose what he was doing. So Satan's motives were obviously not right, okay? He was trying to get Jesus into sin by bowing down to him, in a sense. All right? So just know, someone can come to you and say scripture, but it can be wrong. It can be out of context. Are you understanding me? All right, so Satan was tempting Jesus, but Jesus was sharp, he was discerning, and spoke scripture back to counteract that deception. Satan, demons, and the entire kingdom of darkness are behind the twisting and the perverting of the word of God with evil motives, all right? So we must be aware, we must be alert that the enemy and people the enemy uses, how many of you know the enemy uses people, right? That they will quote Bible verses to you, all right? So don't be naive. You got to discern everything. Now, that is the importance of not only knowing the word of God for yourself, ready? But also to have this close and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? You need that close and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit to have that sharp discernment. Come on, to know and feel. Say that with me. To know and feel. To know and feel. To know and feel when something isn't right. Yep. Now, listen to this about discernment. Are you ready for this? I want you to always remember this about discernment from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you discernment with when something isn't obviously outward evil. Did you just hear what I said? The Holy Spirit will give you and I discernment on the inside, a lack of peace, when something isn't obviously outward evil. In other words, if someone comes to you with the wrong motive, they're acting all nice and kind. From the outside, it looks like, wow, they're real nice. They're friendly. But you got this feeling of lack of peace. Something don't feel right on the inside about it. Why? The Holy Spirit's saying, yeah, I know, James, you can't see it. They look all good from the outside, but inwardly, they're ravening wolves. There's a wrong motive on the inside of them. That's why so what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit will give that discernment when it's not obvious from the outside. Isn't that good? We got to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. All right? Look at Acts 17. Acts 17. Thank God for the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Come on. I mean, being led by the Holy Spirit could save you hundreds of thousands of dollars one day. Amen? We're getting practical now. People just kind of woke up to that. Like, whoa! Oh, now we're talking about money. Yeah, absolutely. All right, here we go. Acts 17, 10 through 12. Glory to God. But no, the Holy Spirit is practical. Amen? He doesn't want us to be deceived. Acts 17, 10 through 12. Oh, I like this. Listen to this. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more fair-minded, underline that. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and in that they received the word of God with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether they were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. The Christians in Berea, come on, I want people here at Living Waters Chapel to be known as fair-minded. Listen to me. The Christians in Berea were more fair-minded than the Christians in Thessalonica. God literally points out a distinction between the two Christians in the different cities. Now, so here's what it is. Fair-minded means this. Fair-minded is defined as impartial or just. Say impartial and just. They, in other words, they sought truth intentionally and diligently. All right? They received the word of God with readiness, with a focus, with a heart to receive the word, with an excitement. Come on, like I talked about earlier, with a desire to learn. Say desire. That motivated those Christians in the city of Berea to search and study the word of God on a daily basis. Say daily. We got to have this daily added into the routine, right? We need to be like the Christians in Berea. We need to be more, come on, fair-minded, not partial. What does that mean? Not partial to vain traditions of man. Not partial to denominational, wrong teachings. Are you following me? That we need to be more fair-minded. These Christians were in Berea were not gullible. They did not receive everything that was said to them. No, they studied it out for themselves. Why? Because they were more fair-minded. They're ready to receive the word. They received it with readiness, but to confirm it was the truth. Do you hear what I just said? To confirm, they wanted truth. Don't just read the word of God, study it. Be more fair-minded. Study it. Study it as if you are digging and searching for gold, as if your life depends on it, because it does. Did you just hear what I said? That's the kind of desire, that's the kind of intensity that's needed when we read and study the word of God and hear the word of God. When you get into the word of God with that fair-minded mindset, get ready for the Holy Spirit to release revelation that will impact your personal life and ministry to others like never before. How many of you want to be good ministers of the gospel? You need to be fair-minded. Yeah, but grandma taught me that when I was a kid. It can't be wrong. You need to be fair-minded. You hear what I just said? You need to be fair-minded. Don't just take it hook, line, and sinker because mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle Jesse, whatever. Amen. Be more fair-minded than that. Be impartial. You want the truth. Right? Hallelujah. Now, the last duty. I'm almost done. The last duty I want to mention in this message toward the Word of God is that we must obey the Word of God. Don't just believe it. You got to take the next step and obey it in your life. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 21-25. I want to take a look at here. It's the last verse. I put you on the word treadmill today, didn't I? James 1, that's the ultimate stress test right there, right? It relieves stress getting into the word. There you go. James 1, 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive, be more fair-minded, come on, with meekness, the implanted word of God. Do you guys remember what the word meekness means? Ready for this? Easily imposed upon. In other words, you're reading the word, you're doing something that's wrong, and you're reading it, you're easily imposed upon with what the word of God says. Oh, I'm wrong. I'm going to change my life because of that. That's what meek is, easily imposed upon by the word of God. I love it. Meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer or obedient to it, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Why? Because there's no meditation on that word. You hear it, you forget about it. No, meditate on it. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a, here it is, forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So don't walk away from your times of hearing, reading, and studying the word of God by forgetting about it, but rather meditate on it. Think about it, prolonged thought on what you just read, what you just heard, what Pastor James just talked about today. Allow it to correct and impact your identity on the inside. Allow it to grow roots in your heart. Remember, the only way for the word to get deep in your heart is to think on it, meditate on it. Allow it to impact every area of your life. Amen. There is one tool the Holy Spirit uses to minister to us and to shape us and to conform us into the image of Christ. Everything that God has intended for us. And guess what that tool is? The Word of God. This is the tool. This is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to conform us into the image of Christ. That tool is no good, ready? Unless it's in our heart. Unless it gets on the inside of us. Jesus said this. He said the Holy Spirit would bring his words, the word of God, to our remembrance throughout our life on this earth. Our whole life. Why? Because the word of God is that tool to shape, to mold, to bend, to break, to conform us into the image of Jesus. See, that's why don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. That's a lot more challenging. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to Jesus. Yeah, right. If we fail to put value on that precious tool, the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit is using to try to mold us, to direct us into the will of God, then the alternative is that eventually we will fall away from the faith. We will backslide. We will live a miserable life on this earth. And even more, come on, if it spirals out of control from that, only God knows when that crosses the line, we will be even more miserable in eternity in hell and the lake of fire if that spiral, that spiritual spiral, isn't stopped and corrected. It's got to stop. It's got to stop right now. It's got to stop today. Amen? Amen? Church, I'm encouraging you. No, I'm begging you. To revolve your life around the whole Word of God. Desire it. Study it. Obey it. Allow it to mold and shape every area of your life. From this day forward, allow it to be and to have the final authority over everything you think, say, and do. And that's when the will of God will truly be fulfilled in every area of our life. Who wants the will of God? Let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Our duty toward the Word of God. There is a duty. We have a duty toward the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, maybe you're in this place and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Listen to me. You're feeling that tug. You're feeling it. Give in to that urge right now. Give in to that tug right now. And if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come down right now and just get in front of one of our prayer partners and tell them, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. They will lead you through a prayer to do that and come into the family of God. Amen. Maybe this message really hit home. Maybe you're like, you know, I haven't really been taking the Word of God seriously. I've taken it for granted. But today, I'm going to change that. I'm going to put value on it. Maybe you're here backslidden and you want to come back to the Lord today with a fresh new start. Come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want the Holy Spirit baptism, praying in other tongues, equipped to be a witness for Jesus, come on down and they'll talk about that and pray with you to receive. You need prayer for anything else, we will pray with you as well.